March 23rd, 2020, it's a lot for Pedro show. Why for Pedro show. Happy Monday. Brother Matt, I got to tell you, people, Brother Matt, a few months ago, I had pneumonia. And so, plus, I'm 62. So, we're kind of in the dangerous place with this COVID-19. So, we can't be in person because we don't want to kill each other with infections and stuff. So, I'm man alone here in my pad. But not actually, because the wonders of Skype and those incredible engineers in Estonia. I got Erica and Mark of Deer County here on the Lot for Peter show. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
We start off the show with John Coltrane doing Song on the Underground Railroad and All I Want to Do, Deer County. So, Mark, Erica, who wants to go first?
I can go first.
Erica, what's your earliest musical memory, recollection?
My earliest musical recollection is being obsessed with Frank Sinatra when I was about 5 years old. So I had a 45 that was my parents, and I used to gather everybody in the house and make them suffer through me doing my singing along to that 45.
And where was this?
This was in the San Fernando Valley.
Wow. Okay. And so how did you get this record? Did you buy it?
Well, my parents are both definitely music aficionados, and my dad, he did a lot of singing himself. My great uncle was actually an Italian-American novelty singer, so there was a lot of music in my household, and Frank Sinatra was definitely high on the list of music listened to. So was my folks, essentially.
Oh, was there instruments?
There was piano, definitely piano.
Did you have piano lessons?
I sure did. That was my first instrument.
Now, what was the experience? Because we've had a lot of different ones here on the Watt from Pedro show.
I would say that mine was actually pretty good because my parents understood that I was a little atypical in terms of I wasn't gravitating toward classical music. So my parents made sure that my teachers allowed me to, you know, kind of do what I wanted to in regards to, like, I was learning songs, I was playing songs. So I never did, like, the classical approach, and I think that made me super stoked on it.
It seems from what I've heard on the show, the teacher has a lot to do with it, not so much the instrument.
Yeah, I would agree entirely that I think that a teacher that can adapt the lesson to the student, I think you can find a lot of joy in it. If it's just like, this is the curriculum, it must be this way, I think that can be problematic.
Yeah, maybe even make you want to hate music.
Oh, totally. I agree. I think some people probably would have enjoyed music more had they had a different teacher as a kid.
Yeah, or it changes when they get a different one. That's the experience of some people on the show here. What about school? Were you in the choir or the marching band or shit like that?
Oh, yeah. I was in a group called the Showcase Singers, and we actually went around doing, like, I don't know, like Scarborough Fair and three-part harmony kind of thing. So we, you know, did the whole traveling and competing with other schools. This was around, like, junior high school years. So I did all the embarrassing kid stuff.
No, but I asked about this because some schools cut out their music programs.
I was lucky to be a child that made the cut, you know what I'm saying? Like, they still had music programs at my school, so I was able to get some of that through school and, like, you know, after school things. I did a lot of musical theater, and, you know, there's embarrassing footage, you know, sitting in my parents' shelf.
It's true.
Of me, like, Peter Pan and stuff like that.
Yeah, well, I was going to ask about, you know, well, what about, like, the basement or a garage or bedroom band after school with your friends? You did stuff like that?
Actually, that's how I actually made my transition out of the musical theater world and into punk rock by playing with two of my closest friends in my friends' what we used to call the bonus room. And we started a 3-piece stall girl band when we were about 15 years old. And that was my foray into something a little, what I actually, you know, gravitated towards is something a little different than the, you know, musical theater choir path.
Okay. I'm interested in influences. What was the first, well, the first record you got was Kipe and Frank Sinatra from your parents, but what was the first record you bought for yourself?
You know, I'm not exactly sure, but I was definitely, I remember getting into Fugazi very young. That was definitely on the list, but I was one of those kids that I was got really into punk rock, but I also like had, you know, like a collection that was potentially something I was hiding from my, you know, punk rock friends. So I had these two worlds. Like I was obsessed with like, say, you know, Unwound and Jawbreaker and Fugazi, and also with Harry Nilsson and Frank Sinatra and Billie Holiday and all kinds of stuff like that. Even like, you know, listening like Bruce Springsteen, and my parents were really into Neil Diamond, all kinds of stuff like that.
You know, music's music anyway. So that genre, all those names for things. It's so silly, I think. It's just my opinion. What was the first gig you went and saw?
So, thanks to my parents, I saw music at a very young age. So, the very first concert I went to was Boy George. So, that I was like 5 years old, and my parents took me to see Boy George. The very first concert I...
Was it Culture Club?
Yes, it was. Then I would say the first concert I went to on my own was the Violent Femmes.
Okay. And now this trio with these three, two friends of yours, girl, ladies, what was the name of that band?
The band was called Upsity, and we never recorded a single note, but we got to play some cool shows. That was kind of our legacy.
What was your first gig like? That's what I wanted to ask you.
So our first gig was at the Cobalt Cafe. And I feel like we may have played with Still Life. We were friends with all those guys. I can't remember specifically if it was that show, but I just remember we were like scared shitless. We were so nervous. Like our hands were shaking, our voices were shaking, but after we finished it, you know, we were all looked at each other and we're like, let's do this again.
Ah, so it was good. It was success.
Definitely.
Yeah, that's great. Yeah, it was pants shitter for me. Well, they still are. For me. I want to play here Rosalie, okay?
Something you never know. Oh, Rosalie, I knew you well. Didn't think painted blue like the sky, so I've never seen to die. Oh. doing so well. Everyone is 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 doing so well. I know.
Backstage, nuts and bolts and wires, lights and paint and tables, all these little dressing rooms, everything is exposed here. Oh, that opposite kind of exposure, so different from being on stage. You can see the dust and the pizza boxes, the backside of a set, or just pieces of it. In other words, everything that is theater is cranked up here. It's so wonderful and intense to get ready, to get an audience ready, to put everything together at once. Then it's 7:30.
Time. being what we were. Dying wasn't wasted, being what we were. Dying wasn't wasting, being what we were. Dying wasn't wasting, being what we were. Here we are.
Pedro Show, Rosalie, Deer County. Then Bilge Pump out of Leeds, England. Dullard and Buffoon, Schizofuel out of Amarillo. Last night I was supposed to be playing there, but tour got postponed. A-hole, Lucy Lee out of England with Everyone Is Doing So Well. Guy by Bob Pollard with his, like, 107th album or something. I'm not shit. Step of the Wave. M.B. Jones out of Pusan. Songs Colonize Imaginary Geography. He's been in lockdown for a couple months now. Joe Brewer, Madison, Behind the Theater. 21 Vec out of Skopje. Se Oblikov Volbelo. And finally, Time Wasn't Wasted, Deer County. So, Mark, your earliest musical recollection, please.
Well, it's funny. I actually was just having a conversation about this just yesterday, and my first musical obsession was indeed Barry Manilow when I was 5 years old.
Okay. You know, I used to see him because he had a pad on Catalina Island, Santa Catalina here, and me and D. Boone worked at the parking lot where they take the boat or the helicopter. He'd always take helicopter. And I remember always pink sweaters.
That's awesome. Yeah, I was just totally obsessed. In fact, my mom reminded me that all I wanted for my 5th birthday was the Barry Manilow record.
And where was this?
That was in Auburn, New York.
Okay. Okay. So you were 5 and stuff. Now, were your parents listeners or music makers or both?
Neither were music makers. My dad only listened to Jimmy Buffett, but my mom had a lot of different records from the Beatles to the Kinks and, you know, the British Invasion stuff. But she also, I remember listening to a lot of Fleetwood Mac. So my mom was a huge, huge music listener.
Was there instruments in the pad?
Nope, not a single one.
Okay, so what about at school?
I never played anything. I did want to play guitar when I was like 8 years old, and so I got some guitar lessons then, but I didn't have, nobody in the family played anything.
So you must have got a guitar.
I did. I got a three-quarter scale acoustic guitar for Christmas.
And how'd them lessons go?
Terrible. So it was terrible. I wanted to play.
No, I believe it. I totally believe it. I've heard it all the way from really good to really lame. I think the teachers has a lot to do with this kind of experience.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes it's the learner, but man, the learner is a kid. He's still growing up.
Yeah, I wanted to play Zeppelin and you know, learn how. I didn't know how to make an acoustic guitar sound like that. Obviously, I couldn't, but
well,
I was learning Mary Had a
Little Lamb. Going back to California, you could have done all of Led Zeppelin 3. Right, there's a lot of acoustic on that record.
Yep.
And I think Over the Hills and Far Away. I mean, there's some shit on a coup. And he had a double neck, right? 12 string.
Yeah.
So I didn't mean to interrupt. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, he had that, was it a 1270, the Gibson 1275, the double neck 12 string and 6 string?
I think it weighed 1275 pounds.
That's why they named it that, yeah.
Brother Takeshi and Boris does that with the bass. I don't know how that dude handles it. Anyway, so the dilemma, how do I make this acoustic guitar not sound like Led Zeppelin 3, but Led Zeppelin 1? 2.
Exactly.
4. Yeah. And so how'd you, well, what was the solution?
I quit playing.
Okay. Well, that's one way. You didn't have to worry about that anymore. So, what about during school, I mean, after school with like friends, like basement, cellar, garage band?
Not till I was 16.
Okay. That's all right. No wine before it's time.
That's right.
Right. Okay. And what was that like? Was it some buddies from school or neighbors or?
Yeah, it was dudes from school. And the first band I was in, I was just the singer, and I'm doing finger quotes for singer because there wasn't much singing going on. But I was kind of a yeller. And what happened then was the bass player in my band quit, and so we needed to get a new bass player. So we got a woman friend of mine, and she came in, and so we thought we were really cool because we had a girl in our band. And
this was a real band then. What was his name?
We were called Underside.
Okay. And so now you got to. Did you guys do gigs?
Yeah, we did. We did a bunch of gigs, and
Tell me about the first one.
First gig. Okay, so I was still just the singer then, and I didn't even know how I was going to behave. So we played third on a four band bill, and I wanted to be a really fun front man, but I didn't know if I was going to be too nervous to do that. But as soon as the music started, I kind of went bonkers, and I feel like that was the right thing to do.
Now, this was at a club?
It was at a 4-H. Yep. We had punk shows at the 4-H. 4-H
club, like agriculture, learning cows. That's right. And pigs. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, Auburn's out there, right? Okay. But it went good once it got going.
Yeah, it went great.
Were you afraid?
Yep.
Yeah, I could imagine. I still get afraid. it was called Undersized?
Underside.
So what happened with Underside? You did this through high school?
Yeah, for my last year or so of high school, we did that. And we actually, after I graduated high school, we actually did 2 national tours.
So did you record?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. You have to use words. One day I'll get this mind reading thing going. We won't have to worry about that, Mark. But in the meantime, please use words. Okay, so you did record, and what was that like? What was the first, was there a studio in Auburn, or was it a home thing, or a garage thing?
We did a bunch of garage things, and we knew some people that had some recording gear, so we did some tapes back when cassettes were still a thing. I guess they are again now. But then we actually were able to get down to Washington, D.C. at some point, and record a 7-inch with Jeff Turner from that band Gray Matter. Sure. So that I was over the moon about that. So yeah, we put out a 7-inch and did a national tour on it.
Wow. Now, how did you hook up with the DC guys?
There was just a guy who came. We saw him. He saw us play, and he said, "Oh, let me do a 7-inch with you guys." And that's just how it happened.
Well, I try to tell people about this because the old days was a lot about people. So are the new days.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's all about somebody seeing you, or you seeing somebody, and you getting together, you talking. See, people think there's some shortcut around that. There ain't.
Exactly. Exactly. And then Maximum Rock and Roll put out that, that can I curse? Am I allowed to curse?
Book your own fucking life, right?
Exactly. That's exactly right. Yeah. Yep. That changed my life.
Because they tell you how to do tours and shit.
That's exactly what we did, yeah.
Well, you could have read Hank Rollins' Getting a Van.
Oh, I did.
Yeah, he wants to kill me. But, you know, later he thanked me for turning him on to Velvet Underground.
Ah, nice.
Yeah, he's a good guy. Good guy. So you did a couple tours. So when you got out of high school, what, you're going to be a music man?
No, I messed around with college a little bit. Never really took for me. So then I actually moved to California to play music. That's exactly what the plan was to do. Just, it's all I wanted to do.
But you didn't want to play with Underside.
Well, that band broke up after the tour, like bands do. I mean, we were a band for like 3 or 4 years, which is pretty good when you're that age. So after we broke up, I was like, there's nothing in Auburn for me anymore. I'm out of here.
And, yeah, I know a couple guys like that. Bob Lee, you know, Black Gang drummer. He Lambertville, New Jersey. Yeah, just put all his drums in his station wagon, came to Cali. Larry Mullins did this, you know, from Knoxville, Tennessee. Just got put all his drums in his car and came on over. And that's balls out.
That's exactly what I did when I was 20 years old, and I had two guitars, two trash bags of clothes, two boxes of things that I liked, and a celebrity station wagon. Off I went.
Now, how did you pick the town you were headed for?
I had a friend here in Oakland who, I moved to Tucson for a very, very short amount of time with my brother Eric.
That's actually in Arizona.
Yeah. But then while I was there, my buddy called me, who lived here. He said, you want to come join a band up in Oakland? And I hadn't even heard the band, but I wasn't doing anything in Tucson. So 2 weeks later, I was in my van, or in my wagon again, up to Oakland, and I've been here since.
You got a band offer.
Yeah.
In Tucson, in Tucson.
No, in Oakland.
Without even having to fucking play for anybody.
Exactly, I know.
I'll tell you a story that's wild like that. Klaus Fluoride told me. He's driving cabs in Boston, and I'm going to move to San Francisco, right? He already been playing bass, but I'm going to try. First day gets to town, there's an ad for the Dead Kennedys. Wow. So you actually get the offer, okay? So you drive, and you've been there ever since. Damn.
Yep.
I guess you made the tryout. What was this band called?
That band was called Among the Thugs.
Yeah, good name. You know, there was a great Oakland band. I got to open, get Ig to open for the Stooges. They were called Sisters in the Pit. Do you remember them?
I don't.
Okay. How long you been in Oaktown?
I've been in Oakland for 26 years.
Oh,
now.
Yeah, then you would know them, I guess. They were great. The Rock and Roll Three Sisters, you know. Playing good punk. And there's a lot of, you know, I just was up there playing there with Scott Amendola. I mean, there's a lot of good music up there. And I'm so glad that, we'll get to more of your story, because we're at the end of the first hour of the Wap Pedro Show, March 23, 2020. Hold tight for hour 2. March 23, 2020. It's the second hour of the Wap for Pedro Show.
To light down grass, young in headlights while shooting stars. We could only count to 10, but it didn't matter much to us then. Thank you.
Off for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with Deer County doing These Days. Then Mod Vigil with Morbid Bug. Mike Wignetta from the center out. You know, everybody staying home and stuff. Mike Wignetta, he's trying to make a 20-minute song every month of this year. So that's pretty bitching. You know, we got to do something, right? Me and Pizzo here at Casa, trying to get our Casa Hanzo studio set up to do gigs, streaming. Just don't want to, you know, give up totally. I like Z with Angel. These three Japanese sisters from the 80s. And then finally, my heart, Deer County. So, Mark, what happened with the Thug Guys?
Well, I was in that band for about 6 weeks, and I really, really did not like that band very much musically, so I quit.
Okay. Wow.
And then I met this guy who worked at a music store who was in a band that I actually really loved. It was a band called Monsula, and I heard that he was looking for someone to play in his band, so I thought, I love that band. I'd love to be in a band with that guy. So I started a band with him, and that was called Uranium 9 Volt. And we were in that band for probably 4 years.
Now, you started the band and asked him to join?
Well, he was playing with his brother Greg and this other friend of ours. Well, he's an old friend now, but I just met him then. Scott, a guy named Scott Pelkey, who was also the drummer for Monsula. And I heard that those three had been playing together. And I met Bill at the guitar store. And I said, hey, man, I can play guitar. And so I just started playing with them. So they already had something going.
Okay. So you joined their band. But that what was the space in between quitting the Thug Guys and joining these cats?
Like a couple of days. I think it might have even overlapped.
God damn. So really lucky.
Yeah.
Well, you know, luck is also bad. So, but this is good luck. Yeah. Not a lot of downtime between shifts, you know.
No, I came here to play music. That's what
yeah,
I was
but
doing.
Just because you want it, don't mean it's going to happen. I got about 10 billion a buttload of stories where it don't work out that way, Mark. So I'm very glad for you, though. I want to play Pick Me Up here.
Maybe you left too long. Somebody hold the key. While I'm drinking, smoking that stank, DUI in the making. Brand new whip, still got the paper plates. I do this every day. My nigga, I'm straight. All my hoes gay. Me and three bitches, call it full play. My nigga, I'm a Mac, and that's all I gotta say. But she gotta be a bad one, that's all I gon' date. My dick is the thirst trap, but she obeying her thirst at. I'm digging money out her purse, I'm a pimp, I deserve that. I break her pussy and it hurt that. Pain is pleasure, she gon' squirt back. I'm ballin' hard and it's all on the bitch, like it ain't nothing wrong. Like it ain't nothing wrong. Another young nigga tryna be rich, it's the same old song.
Riding in my Cadillac, whipping on the poles I got. Leather on my seats, I'm getting paid. Bitches in the backseat, rolling while I'm smoking. I got money on my mind, I'm getting paid. I be doing my thing.
Cadillac champagne gold, 20-inch balls, fly bitch skin tone gold. With pink nipples, she a red ball. I'm on the payroll, got a pimp pockets on swole. I can't tell a bitch no wrong, my game too strong. Going Rick James on these hoes, deleting contacts on her phone. Changing her number, got her on the blade and a pole. Going Flavor Flav on these hoes, renaming these hoes. Turn the route, training these hoes. Get all in the brains of these hoes. Changing their clothes. My bottom bitch hazing these hoes. Doing my thing with these hoes like it ain't nothing wrong. And that's a young nigga trying to be rich. It's the same old song.
Riding in my Cadillac. Whipping on the poles I got. Leather on my seats, I'm getting paid. Bitches in the backseat. Rolling while I'm smoking, I got money on my mind, I'm getting paid.
I be doing my thing.
Riding in my Cadillac, whipping all them poles I got. Leather on my seats, I'm getting paid. Bitches in the backseat, rolling while I'm smoking. I got money on my mind, I'm getting paid.
for Pedro show. Pick me up, Deer County. Then San Ardo with Taking a Drive. Petra Hayden. Me and Pat are working on Charlie Plymell's Planet Chernobyl opera. Can't Find My Way Back Home. Can't Find My Way Home. It's a Stevie Winwood, right? Traffic cover. Di J. Wright's Brand New Money and Dear Cobb, but it's probably California, CA?
Yeah, Dear California.
Okay. It just said CA, though, so it's like postman abbreviation. So let's talk about Deer County. How did Deer County have?
So actually, the Uranium 9 Volt in talking about my band XP is a good segue into that because Mark and I actually met for the first time so Mark and I are about 5 years apart. When I was a teenager, Mark was barely 20, and he was playing with Uranium 9 Volt passing through Southern California, and my band XP played a show with Uranium 9 Volt. And so basically, we originally met when we were kids. And then flash forward how many years?
Like 16.
16 years later, a mutual friend of ours had suggested that I have another project called Eric Rose and the Dot Dot Dots, and he had suggested me coming up to San Francisco and playing with his band. And so I came on up and did a kind of West Coast tour, and sure enough, ended up playing with Mark's other band that he was in currently called The Devil's Own. And Mark actually remembered us meeting at the Huntington Beach Library when we were kids. I had no recollection of it, but he came up to me after my set and said, "Did you play in a punk band in the 90s? And my first thing was like, no, I didn't really, because I didn't really get started on music until the 2000s. But then it clicked in my brain. Oh, actually, I mean, maybe we played together with my band that never recorded a single note. And sure enough, we did, and that was the beginning of not only a band, but we are also a couple. So that's how we came back together, essentially.
By playing a gig together. And then remembering about playing a gig together years before.
Correct.
Okay. Because usually, yeah, that's enough. You know, hey, we're playing. Yeah, we played once 60. Okay, let's start a band. Let's get together. No, it's a trippy thing, the way the paths from yesterday lead to today, right? They're usually not so planned, and they just happen. Okay, let's talk about the name. How'd you come up with the name?
I'm not even sure. I think we argue about this because I think it was me, and she thinks it was, Erica thinks it was her, but I'm pretty sure.
Is there a real county? California has 58 counties, I think. Is one of them called Deer?
No.
Yeah, okay.
In the city,
there's a Masonic Lodge on California, you know. And they've got a big stained glass thing with all their little symbols and shit, but they've got little pieces of dirt from all 58 counties. Yeah, I was there once to be at somebody's graduation for their pop that passed away. And yeah, I thought that was a trippy thing. But anyway, it's more than two people. How'd you get the other cats in the band?
Well, we for a while were just writing songs on our acoustic guitars. You know, we weren't necessarily starting a band, and then all of a sudden we wound up with quite a few songs, and then realized that, you know, being from the musical backgrounds we didn't want this just to be, you know, an acoustic guitar duo. So we essentially started looking to friends of ours to become part of it and to flesh it all out.
Okay, yeah, but who are these flesher outers?
Well, that's the reason I answered it like that is Deer County has taken on a few different incarnations. We started out with our two friends of ours, Mike Smart and Nelson Sarnio, and then essentially for different life reasons, we've had to get different members, and currently we have a different bass player, and we actually, our current bass player, his name is Stephen Boyd. He's been with us since this record. He played on this record. And then we literally ended up getting a new drummer a couple weeks ago because our drummer decided to go back to school and, you know, just parted ways for nothing more than life logistics. But we've had one rehearsal with our new drummer and now we're all in lockdown. So that's where we are at the moment. His name's Fahim Kamani.
What was the first Deer County gig like?
Oh, that was bad.
That's why I asked you about it, Mark.
It was bad. It was just the two of us, and I was really nervous. Once again, I was really nervous, and I who knows how many shows I've played, but it was just kind of this weird thing because it was just the two of us, and she was playing acoustic guitar and I was playing electric guitar, and I just feel like it did not go very well at all. It was bad.
I feel like it wasn't as bad as maybe he thinks it was, but we could have done way, way, way better.
Each get an opinion. Probably the gig goers get their opinion too. Were they throwing shit at you?
A little bit.
No, stop. They were not.
I've had a lot of gigs. You wouldn't believe the shit I've been hit with. But the farmer, I was going to tell you, farmer would tell you maybe if you want a good crop, use a lot of manure. We're at the end of part two, hour two, March 23, 2020, Dish Wap Pedro Show, special guest, Deer County, hold tight for hour three. March 23rd, 2020, it's the third hour, Wap from Pedro Show.
I mean, half what I must I let you shelter me, darling.
Your Pedro show started the third hour off with Almost No One Could Make Me Leave You by Deer County. Organs after that out of, I think, one guy's Dublin, one guy's Belfast, Ireland. And number three, organs. That's Bushy. Beautiful cat. I know he's Dublin. Tell him Migration Celebration out of Pacifica. Have you ever been that part? It's maybe 15 miles from the city, but a whole other world. It's real foggy there. There's a pad you might want to play. It's called Winter's Tavern. Brother Steve, the sax man for the Stooges, lived there.
Oh, yeah. I know that place well.
I'm sorry?
I know that place well.
Okay. He told me it was 7-8 little towns that came together to make Pacifica. And we know about Pacifica here because KPFK from KPFA, you know.
Yeah.
I think in New York City it's WBAI. There's like 5 or 6 stations. Shadows by Crane. He's in Idaho these days. And Deer County, oh my darling. So, tell me about this record. Where did you record it?
So we actually went up to Portland and...
Portland, Oregon or Portland, Maine?
Portland, Oregon, yeah. Portland. We went up there because there was a guy by the name of Raymond Richards who has, you know, made some music we really respect. And I had actually been talking to him about, you know, working with my other project, Eric Rose and the dot, dot, dots, but... I actually work with a group of people that's kind of like the production side is also like band members. So I had told him, you know, I can't really work on this project with you, but I have this band called Deer County. Would you be interested in working with us on this album? So we all did a little pilgrimage up to Portland and did it in a very short period of time. We did 3 days in the studio. We also recorded the rest of it back home at our own studio, so we did a little bit of that, you know, got the basic tracks, you know, done up in his studio.
So it was mixed in Oaktown, but the basics were done up in Portland. And what was that studio in Portland called?
So there was additional recording done in Oaktown, and then it actually was mixed in Los Angeles by Jason Mazzellis. So this actually spans the West Coast, this record.
It's an I-5 album.
Yes, that's right.
Well put.
Tell people about I-5 tours. Yeah, you can do those, and then there's like fucking 800 miles of Rocky Mountains and deserts. But, okay. The studio in Portland, what was it called?
B-Side Studios.
Yeah, because we want to give studios credit, right? Just like the Flesher Outers in your band.
Of course, and
it was mixed in SoCal where?
At Organic Audio Recorders.
Okay, and then there in Oaktown, is it at your pad or your practice place or another studio?
We have in our rehearsal space, we have a pretty good recording setup, Pro Tools rig and a bunch of preamps and stuff that we did a bunch of guitar, we did a little bit of bass, we did all the backing vocals here in Oakland in our studio.
Okay. Yeah, it's funny, it's just semantics, but I've yet to hear a basketball player say, you know, I'm going to go to the court and rehearse some hoops. I mean, what's wrong with the fucking word practice? Does it sound like kids or some shit? I've always had a weird thing about that. I want to play Slow Exit here.
Never knew one day I'd never wanna leave.
From Pedro Show. We just off-air people, I got a call from a telemarketer and I explained to the Eric and Mark here about convenience of the gift of my father's family name that I use, and because I always want to let people know who they're talking to, because I hate motherfuckers who call you and say, who is this? You call me, motherfucker, or you. So anyway, if I say my name, Watt, they think I'm asking them a question and get pissed off and hang up. All right. We play... Small exit. That's a quick exit from Wattway. From Deer County, then Andre Vita out of Berlin with Kiggy. Ned O'Millick Cooperative. It's time. I think he's living in Trieste right now. He just got another project going with songs all on COVID-19. He wrote in the last week. I'm telling you, now the time is to really get creative with the compose and record, I think, because the performance thing is kind of drying up. Chinese Herbal Medicine with Wei O. And the air that I breathe, Deer County. So, what's your plan? You can't tour, right? You were even discussing you can't practice with your new drummer.
Right. Yeah, I think Eric and I are just gonna hang out in quarantine and hopefully write some songs. Like Erica said, we both have other projects that we do. Erica is actually she recruited me to play bass in her other band, which I love. And then I have my other project.
Player.
What's that?
You're a bass player.
In Erica's other band, I'm typically a guitar player, but
yeah,
I know.
But in addition,
yes,
yeah, it's always good. You know, it's just more vocabulary, and also maybe you have some empathy for the bass players.
Totally.
Sometimes I wonder about some guitar guys. Have you learned? have you played bass enough to learn the politics of bass?
You know, I feel like I sort of. And Erica would probably be able to either confirm or deny this, but I bet you she did not. She would tell me I wasn't allowed to play anymore if I sucked at it. But I feel like it came pretty naturally to me.
For me, the politics of bass is you look good making the other guy look good.
Yes, exactly.
It's just the nature of the physics of the... I mean, it looks like a guitar, but it's actually more like a drum. Our closest note is the kick. Maybe some toms.
Well, and you know, that was my approach, is I didn't want to play bass like a guitar player. I want to play bass like a bass player.
Wow. Much respect. How can people find you guys on the internet?
At DearCounty.com.
Say that again. Erica, there was a dropout. Say that again.
It's Dear County, D-E-A-R, like the letter county.com.
DearCounty.com. Great.
Okay.
People go there and see what's going on with them, because they're going to be composing and recording. And you know, life deals you a hand. Hopefully we come together and get, you know, make this thing as less lame as possible. I don't know about spring break parties. Maybe you guys were good to call the tour off.
Yeah, I think at this point we're trying to do our part and really lock it down and not be those people who are pretending that life can go on as usual. You know, we wanted to, so we figure, you know, at some point we'll get to do the tour in and the shows and the actual celebration of our record. But for right now, it's going to be all about a digital release on Bandcamp for us.
Yeah, you said your grandpa was sang in Italian.
It's actually my great uncle, his name's Luke Monti, and he actually was the first person signed to Frank Sinatra's Reprise Records.
Yes, right. Well, they say Nano, Nona, huh? Nono, Nano. Nono and Nona for Grandpa and Grandpa. That's the ones we got to look out for.
So true.
Maybe we got strong bodies, but we can carry this fucker, so we got to stomp her down. I want to thank you. It's been a big honor to have you on the show. I want you to keep on keeping on, really. Maybe we have to manifest it in certain different ways, but music is a fucking good thing, I think. And your adventures, your journeys through it are pretty inspiring. So, I wish you good luck. Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having us. We really appreciate you and all you do and all the music you make as well. So we're honored to get to be part of your show.
Okay. March 23, 2020. Everybody keep your powder dry.